This is News Talk.
Well, it'll come as no surprise that the lifting of restrictions is the top story across all of the broadsheets this morning. It's our own Freedom Day, effectively, due on October 22nd, and it can't come fast enough, if you ask me. I'll start with the Irish Independent. It says new normal curbs to be lifted. The Cabinet will consider proposals for the final reopening of the country that will see workers return to offices from September 20th. The wearing of face masks in certain settings will be one of the few COVID measures to remain for indoor retail, public transport and in healthcare settings past the end of October. And I don't think anyone's going to really argue with that. The paper also says the use of COVID passes will come to an end on October 22nd. So, on September 6th, we'll see increased numbers at indoor and outdoor events for both vaccinated and unvaccinated people, live music permitted at weddings, and the return of communions, confirmations and trade exhibitions. The number of spectators at sporting events is also expected to be increased by up to 50% of stadium capacity. On September 20th, bowling and indoor sports, yoga, Pilates, as well as dance, drama and music classes for children will resume, and bingo halls will also reopen on that date. And a nightclub pilot scheme will take place before the end of September, but a date has yet to be determined for that one. A review is underway, the paper says, to examine whether the compulsory wearing of face masks in various settings, including schools, should be extended to children under the age of 13. NPHET has asked the Health Information and Quality Authority to examine the latest evidence on minimum age for wearing face masks, and I'll have more on that story later on. The Irish Times says, though the easing of restrictions is taking place more slowly and later than in many countries, the plans to be announced are more wide-ranging than had been expected, but indicators such as hospital and intensive care capacity will be key factors when deciding whether to proceed with the further easing of curbs. So it all comes with a caveat, people. With regard to the return of workers to offices, the paper says employers will be given guidelines to assist in drawing up plans for the return and will be encouraged to consult and agree plans with staff. And I think that is very important, that you get staff on board. The Irish Examiner says a programme of COVID booster shots will be administered to the most vulnerable in preparation for the winter months, and that the 11:30 pub closing time, that is set to be one of the last things to change. Other stories then on the front of the papers. A fascinating article in the Irish Times. It says dogs can anticipate epileptic seizures, say researchers. This is according to a study by Queen's University Belfast. All 19 dogs in the study reacted to the smell associated with a seizure by making eye contact with the owners, touching them, crying or barking. None of the dogs had previously trained for this task, but scientists believe that if they can train dogs, the discovery has the potential to help people with epilepsy predict the onset of seizures and thereby greatly improving their safety. Around 1 in 5 people with epilepsy are unable to control their seizure with medication, and at present there is no reliable early warning device to predict the onset of seizures. On the front of the Examiner, it says Ireland's first Green University President plans for the institution to work towards securing a future for the country, university and planet. The new president of UCC, John O'Halloran, says he wants to leverage the university's high global sustainability ranking even more in the coming years. The college is currently ranked 8th in the world for its impact in working towards a sustainable future, and that is quite impressive indeed. Also on the front of that paper, that desperately sad story about Marie Downing and her baby who died at Cork University Maternity Hospital in 2019, and the hospital apologising to the family there yesterday. Then to the tabloids. Most of the tabloids lead with the easing of restrictions, predictably. However, The Sun leads with Ivan the Terrible, referring to Ivan Yates, formerly of this parish, advising PR clients not to go on Joe Duffy, saying they should pick another show. Joe Duffy has press apparently blasted Yates for his Liveline snub, saying clients should look for their money back. And I know who I'll be backing in that dogfight. And to some other stories then in the paper. Now, just want to go back to that housing story that was reported in the Irish Times yesterday. The Catholic primate Eamon Martin has not received correspondence sent last week by Minister for Housing Dara O'Brien asking the church to identify property it owns that could potentially be used for housing. A spokesman for Archbishop Martin would, on receiving the letter, consider its content carefully and will, in consultation with his brother bishops, reflect on it during the autumn general meeting of the Irish Catholic Bishops Conference in October. Mr. O'Brien yesterday said he was hopeful the church would provide land for the state to build homes in the future, as he confirmed he had sent the letter. Also in the paper, homeowners in the Dunleary Rathdown area of Dublin can expect a reduction in their local property tax bills next year after county councils councillors decided to cut the rate by 15% there. I don't know if you heard this story yesterday, but it's a huge one in sport equality. FAI agrees equal pay for women and men. The Republic of Ireland captain Seamus Coleman says the senior men's team players welcome the FAI's move to ensure the senior men and women's teams were paid the same and are happy to accept a drop in their matches fee for international games to achieve this. It's understood that while members of the men's team receive a match fee of around €2,500, players for the women's squad get only €500, and other nations have led the way in ensuring equal play for their men's and women's teams, and now the Republic will make the same move. Just back to the Irish Independent, it says that it's a cancer screening story. Just 8 claims for compensation have been brought by women and families to the Cervical Check Tribunal, it has emerged. The tribunal was set up to allow women and families who are taking cases against the National Cancer Screening Programme to avoid going to court, but its terms have been criticised by campaigners. The findings were provided to AIMTU leader Pather Tobin by Health Minister Stephen Donnelly. Mr. Tobin said yesterday, we learned that in the past 6 months, a total of 72 new cases against Cervical Check have been notified to the State Claims Agency. And as I was saying, just 8 claims for compensation brought to that tribunal. Study in the Irish Times of interest. COVID-19 has been a perfect storm for eating disorders among teenagers, with the health service executive having seen a surge in the number of people hospitalised and seeking treatment over the past year. Figures released to the paper show the number of teenage girls aged 12 to 18 discharged from hospital with a principal diagnosis of anorexia or bulimia rose from 123 cases in 2018 and 130 in 2019 to 188 last year. And the number of boys in the same age group discharged was 19 in 2018 and 28 last year. Don't want you to be put off your breakfast, but there's a story in the Indo today that says the state environmental watchdog has expressed concern about the discovery of small eels earlier this summer in a treatment plant which supplies drinking water to around 10,000 people in Carlow, Kildare and Wicklow. Environmental Protection Agency inspectors found silvery creatures approximately 20 centimetres long, believed to be eels, at the Carlow North Regional Public Drinking Water Supply during a visit on June 23rd. The audit was carried out after Cryptosporidium, a parasite that can cause major illness, including nausea and diarrhea, had been detected in a water sample taken from the plant on May 11th. Another story of interest to anyone who's had their phone coverage drop out in a rural area. Adrian Weckler, the tech editor, says this year's updated iPhone could be the beginning of the end for mobile dead zones in rural areas. According to a new report, the iPhone 13 is set to include satellite communications technology that could allow calls and texts without having to use a regular mobile network. The inclusion of a chip to allow low Earth orbit satellite contact has been revealed by one of the analysts in a note to investors. Apple has not commented on the report. The iPhone 13 is due to be launched next month, and I'm sure we'll find out more about that then.
On 106 to 108 FM and newstalk.com. This is Newstalk.